Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Hey, good morning, everybody. My name is Daniel Indrajaya. I'm one of the pastors here at church. Welcome to church, everybody, once again. If this is your first time, our slogan around here is no perfect people allowed. We want to remind you and everybody here who calls this church home that there's nobody perfect. That's why we need God's grace and forgiveness. And Jesus has made it available to all of us 2,000 years ago through his death and resurrection. So if you put your faith in him, you will have eternal life, the Bible says. So that's the good news. I want to welcome our YouTube viewers and podcast listeners as well. Thanks for joining in. We are in the second week of our series, Three Questions Every Child Needs Answered. And before I continue, I need to tell you some disclaimers first, as I did last week. First, I'm not an expert on parenting, and I'm not claiming to be an expert on parenting. I'm still on the job training, I call it. I have an 11-year-old boy at home. He's in the video just then. And I've made a lot of parenting mistakes in the past, and I'm still continuing to learn. But I also learn from the wisdom of others. And I read books, I read the Bible, and I believe our time together can be very beneficial for the next 3 weeks that we set aside this series for. So that's the first thing. Second, your children will never ask these questions out loud. But believe me, they ask these questions. Some of you adults, when you were a kid, you asked these questions yourself, and who you are today is partly shaped by how your parents answered these questions. I pray and I believe that God will remove some of the hurt, some of the disappointment, the baggages that you have growing up through this series as well. And if you're single, you're not a parent, you're a grandparent, I want you to lean in as well, because I believe every time the Word of God is being preached, it will never come back empty-handed. So please just lean in and just grab whatever principles you can get for yourself throughout this series, and there will be many. Okay? And then finally, number four, I know that parenting is tough. It is not for the faint of heart. Some of you were under abusive parents and you still find it difficult right now. Some of you are single parents and you're struggling. You don't know if you could continue or not. Let me remind you from this powerful psalm. It says that children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. So whenever you get frustrated, just remember that your child is a gift from God. Your gift may not be very lovely at the moment, but hey, that's a good reminder for all of us, hey? And for some of you who are trying to have a baby and until now you can't and you're blaming yourself for it, don't, please remember this. Children are a gift from God. So it's not automatic. So obviously we can ask God for it. Obviously we can pray about it. But at the end, it is up to God, because children are a gift from the Lord. All right? Last week, we started this series by asking the first question every child needs answered. And that is, what are my boundaries? I don't have time to go into details. I preached an awesome sermon last week. So make sure you listen. Make sure you get caught up on YouTube. But very quickly, I want to remind all of us that parenting is not just for the present. Don't just parent in the present, but you got to parent for the future as well. You got to set boundaries. You got to teach your children responsibilities. They need to be responsible for their own emotion, for their own well-being, and so on. We need to equip them for life, so they just don't do everything for them, all right? You got to let them try and fail and make mistakes. You need to know your boundaries as well, not just your children. So that's the first week. Now, we are on to the second question. But before we start, I'd like to lead us in a quick word of prayer one more time as we ask God to lead us. Father, lead our time together right now. I pray that you will speak through me, through to all of us, because we all need your wisdom. And I know every person is here for a reason. It's not by coincidence. So speak to us. We are ready to listen. In Jesus' name we pray. If you agree with me, say amen. 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 Well, are you ready? This is the second question every child needs answered. And the question is, do you love me? It doesn't matter if you are a parent of a 5-year-old or a 25-year-old, they all want to know the answer to this question. Before I continue, I want to show you a powerful clip from a Broadway play played by one of my favorite actors, James Earl Jones. And it's a story about a 53-year-old man who's struggling to provide for his family. And in this powerful scene, he was talking to his son, who was wondering whether or not he liked him. All right? So let's watch this, and I'll come back.
Can I ask you a question? How come you ain't never liked me?
Liked you? What law is there to say I got to like you? Talk about liking somebody. Come here, boy, when I talk to you. Ask you a question. What law is there to say I got to like you?
None.
All right, then. Don't you eat every day? Answer me when I talk to you. Don't you eat every day?
Yeah.
As long as you live in my house, you put a sir on the end of it when you talk to me.
Yes, sir.
You eat every day.
Yes, sir.
Got a roof over your head.
Yes, sir.
And clothes on your back.
Yes, sir.
Why do you think that is?
Because of you.
Hell, I know it's because of me. Why do you think that is?
Because you like me.
Like you. I go out of here every morning and bust my butt putting up with them crackers all day long because I like you. You is the biggest fool I ever saw. It is my job. It is my responsibility. You understand that? A man got to take care of his family. You live in my house. You sleep your behind on my bedclothes. You put my food in your belly because you are my son. You are my flesh and blood, not because I like you. It is my duty to take care of you. I owe a responsibility to you. Wait now. Let's get this straight right now. But go along any further. I ain't got to like you. Mr. Rand, don't give me my money come payday because he liked me. He give me because he owe me. Now, I done give you everything I had to give you. I gave you your life. Your mama and me worked it out between us. And lacking your black ass was not a part of the bargain. And don't you try and go through life worried if somebody like you or not. You best make sure that they are doing right by you. You understand what I'm saying, boy?
I love James Earl Jones. This play was turned into a movie and played by Denzel Washington, but it wasn't as good as James Earl Jones. And I love the character that he played in this play because the character represents a very responsible father. And a lot of you here are very responsible parents, and I take my hats off to you. And it's very important, especially in these days and age, you know, where a lot of parents abandon their family, they don't provide for their family. So if you are working hard to provide for your family, I take my hat off to you, all right? But let me tell you, especially if you are a Christian parent, it is not enough for you to just provide for your family. It's not enough. Because we are meant to be a representation of God to our children. See, God doesn't provide for us because it is His responsibility. No, God really loves us. And we need to tell our children that God really loves them. And how can they learn that God loves them unless we love them as well? So we need to show them. It is our responsibility as parents not just to provide, but to show love to them. There's a favorite, one of my favorite singers, Elton John. He was interviewed by Rolling Stone magazine in 2016, and he reflected on his dad, and this is what he wrote. He wouldn't hold you. He wouldn't say he loved you. I was afraid of my father. I was walking on eggshells the whole time trying to get his approval. He's been dead for a long time, and I'm still trying to prove things to him. And when he was asked what he meant by that, he said, I still do things and say, Dad, would have loved this. You would have loved this. Can you imagine that? How sad is it that Elton John still, when he performed, he did it and hoping that his dad would be pleased with him. That's not all. Elton's father died in 1997 without ever seeing him play live. Can you imagine that? Your own dad never saw you play live. His father physically touched him most when he was beating him. My mom always says, that's just the way he did it in those days, and it didn't affect you. And Elton says, what are you talking about? It affects me every day. It affects me every day. Author Ray Johnston says, as kids grow older, we have to become better at reaching their heart than filling their head. I agree with him, but I'll go even a step further. We have to become better at reaching our kids' heart than filling their head at all times, not just when they're growing up, but at all times. So this morning, I want to show you what can you do to show your children that you love them, because I know you do, all right? But sometimes maybe we don't realize what we needed to do in order to show our love to our children. I want to read you a very powerful story from the life of Jesus that illustrates powerfully the point that we're trying to make about parenting and how parents are supposed to love their children. This passage marks the inauguration of Jesus' earthly ministry. So it's not really a parenting passage per se. So I'm going to draw a secondary application from this. Don't blame me. But it's very, very important because in this passage, you will read one of the most intimate interactions between Jesus and his Father. And in the most tender moment, we see Jesus acting, you know, submitting to his Heavenly Father, and we see also his Heavenly Father declaring to the whole world how deeply he loves his Son. So if you have your Bible, turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, and we'll be reading from verses 13 to 17. Matthew 3, verses 13 to 17. If you don't bring your Bible, we'll have it up here. Ready? Here we go. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John, but John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you. Why do you come to me?" Then Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. That means resting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." The first thing that we observe about parenting from this passage is that God was present in the life of Jesus. God was present in the life of Jesus. See, God did not send Jesus to our world just to abandon him. No, we read, Matthew says that when Jesus went up out of the water, the Spirit of God descended like a dove and rested on Jesus, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love." See, the Spirit is not just the one that gives the power to Jesus' ministry. I believe the Holy Spirit is also a sign that God the Father was present with Jesus. God the Father felt it is important for the whole world to know that he didn't abandon his Son, that he was present with his Son. Now, if God wanted the world to know that he was present with his Son, how much more important is it for us as a parent to be present with our children? See, your kids will know that you love them when you are present. You know, parenting is getting harder and harder these days. Let me read you the statistics on divorce and children. 1 in 5 children growing up in Australia today are being raised in a single-parent environment. 1/3 of all Australian children will witness the breakup of a parent's marriage. Of these children, close to half will also see the breakup of a parent's second marriage. I'm not here to condemn you who've been through a divorce. I'm sure it was really, really tough for you, and I feel for you. I'm not blaming you at all, but I'm just telling you how tough it is for our children and how tough it is for parents. Even if parents stay together, it doesn't mean that parents automatically are present at the child's life, you see. You have to be intentional about it. King David, who was famous for slaying Goliath, the giant, he was a man of God, but he was struggling as a parent. One of his sons, his name is Absalom. And for 3 years as a young adult, David totally did not pay attention at all to his son Absalom, to the point that Absalom was so frustrated, he sought the help of Joab. Joab was one of the king's chief commanders. And he asked Joab to appeal to the king to see him. Can you imagine? You have to appeal to someone else to have attention, the attention of your father. But the funny thing was, or the sad thing was, Joab also refused to help. So this is what happened in 2 Samuel 14:29. Then Absalom sent for Joab to ask him to intercede for him, but Joab refused to come. Absalom sent him a second time, but again, Joab refused to come. So this is what he did. So Absalom said to his servants, go set fire to Joab's barley field. That will get his attention. That's what kids will do. If they seek your presence, they crave your presence and your attention. If they don't get it, they can set your fields on fire. They may drop out of school even though they're bright. They may try drugs and alcohol. They may have sexual relationships with their boyfriend and girlfriend. They will set your fields on fire if they don't get the attention that they're expecting from you. You see, do you think this is a right statement? Your son or your daughter feels love when they know that they have your attention. The opposite is true as well. They don't feel love when they don't have your attention. If I talk to your child right now, will they tell me that they have your full attention? Or will they tell me that they have to compete with your career? They have to compete with your hobby? They have to compete with your golf, with your cycling, with your shopping, with your iPad? Do your children feel that they have your attention? One of my favorite authors, Gary Chapman, wrote a really, really good book called The Five Love Languages. And in it, he wrote this. Inside every child is an emotional tank waiting to be filled with love. When a child really feels loved, he or she will develop normally. But when the love tank is empty, the child will misbehave. Much of the misbehavior of children is motivated by the cravings of an empty love tank. So when you see your child misbehaving, don't just fix the symptom. You gotta go back all the way to the cause, to the root. Maybe their love tank is empty. A lot of young girls today dress to attract the attention of the opposite sex. You know why? Because they don't have the attention of their parents, especially their father. Again, my question is, how full is your child's love tank? How full is your child's love tank? Remember, no deposit, no withdrawal. Just like you can't withdraw money from the bank that you haven't deposited, if you don't deposit love into your child's love tank, don't expect to withdraw love and obedience from them. If they constantly have to struggle against your career, your hobby, and everything else, they will seek attention from elsewhere. I guess the bottom line, what I'm trying to say is this. You don't have to be the perfect parent. You can't be. There's no way you can be the perfect parent. But you have to be a present parent. You have to be a present parent. And to be a present parent, there's a price that you gotta pay. All right? If you want to give your kids attention, there's gonna be some cost to you. It's gonna cost you your time, dinner time, bedtime. You're going to have to pray with them together. You're going to have to go to church with them together. You're going to ask them what they learn at church. Don't just leave it to the kids' leaders, right? You're going to be present in their life. And it's going to cost you. But let me tell you, it's going to be so worthwhile. It's going to be so worthwhile. God the Father knows how important it is for Him to be present with Jesus. And because God knows as well that it is important for you to be present with your children, God will help you. He's going to give you the grace. He's going to give you the courage. He's going to give you whatever you need so that you can overcome the barriers, whether they are real barriers or just your excuse, so that you can be present with your child, because that's God's desire for your children, that you will be present with them. All right? So that's the first thing. Second, your kids will know that you love them when you express your love. I grew up in a family where we don't really express our love and affection to one another. It's just assumed that we know it, right? We know that we love each other. I know my dad really loves me and all that, but we never really express it. But God is not like that. See how God strongly expressed his love and affection toward his son. This is from a different version. As he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form. Like, it was so tangible, the presence of God in the life of Jesus, like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, like, make no mistake, everybody, I want the whole world to know, you are my son, whom I love, with you I am well pleased. See, it's not enough for you to just love your children. You got to be able to express your love for your children. There are many different ways you can express your love for your children. That's why I really encourage you to read the book Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman. Here are, very quickly, the five different ways you can show love to your children. One, gift-giving. Kids love that. And a lot of parents resort to this. By the way, there's always a preference. Some people prefer one love language over the others. But come on, let's face it. All of us like whatever ways we can receive love, because we are created to love and be loved. So whatever ways love is expressed to us, we're going to appreciate it. But a lot of parents resort to gift-giving to please their children, right? To show love to their children. Let me tell you, your presence is so much more important than your present to them. You got it? Your presence in their lives is so much more important than just giving them present after present after present. By all means, give them presents, all right? But your presence is so much more important. The second way you can express your love to your children is by quality time. And let me tell you, don't believe when people say, oh, I just, you know, spend quality time with my children. You can't spend quality time with your children without quantity time. There's no quality without quantity. You just have to spend the time with them, right? And I try as much as possible, and I love being a pastor of this church because the church gives me flexibility. You know, I send Jaden to school in the morning. I pick him up after school. You know, I try to spend as much time as possible with Jaden, especially, you know, he's turning into a teenager now. He needs my presence in his life, and I love it, right? Because here's the deal. Anybody can do what I do at church. Someday, I will not be a pastor of this church anymore. I can be replaced, but only I can be a father to Jaden. Nobody else can, right? Anybody else can do what I do here at church, but nobody can be a father to Jaden. So I love to spend time with him. We play basketball in the backyard together. I send him to taekwondo. I watch his soccer games. As much as possible, I want to be present in his life. I mean, I'm not perfect, by the way. I'm not saying this to brag to you, but I'm making an effort, put it this way, right? To spend time with Jaden. And number three, words of affirmation. I'm generalizing here, but Asian families are usually bad at this, right? We're good at giving gifts, we're good at providing and all that, but we're not so good at words of affirmation. You need to tell your child that you love them. I tell Jaden all the time, and I make them say it, Jaden, Daddy loves you all the time, no matter what. And Jaden can say this, how does Daddy love you? All the time, no matter what. You can express that in so many different ways. I tell Jaden, you know, that the day he was born, it was one of the happiest days of my life. I keep telling him, hey, you know, you're the most good-looking 11-year-old I've seen in this world. You're so fantastic, just like your daddy. Very good-looking, you know. You can express it in so many different ways. For those of you who are artistic, you can express your love for your children through songs, maybe, right? I'm not very artistic at all, but I, you know, I wrote the song for Jaden. I sang it to him when he was younger, and he loved it. I think he can re-sing the song right now because it was just a great song. It goes something like this. You want to hear it?
Yay! Sing it!
It should be in the top chart, let me tell you. It goes something like this. Jaden, my son, Daddy loves you. No matter what you do, you're the best. You're the best. Jaden boy, you know, he's hiding behind the hood right there, embarrassed. But yeah, whatever you can do to express love to your children, write them a letter, a love letter. Hulda, my wife, likes to write a note and put it in his lunchbox, you know. Hey, Jaden, enjoy your lunch. Mommy loves you. You can do it as long as they're under 11 years old, right? If they're 17, don't do it. You're going to get killed, let me tell you. So words of affirmation is very important. They need to hear it from you. Don't just say, they know it. They know I love them. No. You need to be able to say it to them, all right? Acts of service, do things for them, help them with their homework, you know, send them for soccer training, that sort of stuff. You know, work hard to provide for your family. That's an expression of love as well. And number five is also very important. I love this, physical touch. You know, I can't stop hugging, kissing Jaden all the time. And one of the things that we love to do is wrestling. That's how we express love to one another. Jaden call it skaboosh. Dad, I want to skaboosh you. So I would sit on the edge of his bed, and he would sprint all the way from kitchen, and he would jump toward me and just, you know, just pound me to the ground, and we would wrestle and laugh and giggle. That's one way we show love to one another as well. Whatever ways that you can think of, but you cannot keep silent. Just like when you are grateful to someone, you know, you can't just be grateful and not tell the person about it, right? You have to tell the person, hey, thank you for being there for me. Thank you for loaning me that book. Thank you. You gotta express your gratitude. You also have to express your love for your children. That's number two. Then finally, number three, your kids will know that you love them when you give them unconditional love. This is very hard for some of us, right? Because a lot of us parents, what do? We compare. We compare our children to other kids, and they don't feel like we love them unconditionally. They feel like we love them only if they obey. They feel like we love them only if they perform. But because God gives us His unconditional love, we need to be able to show unconditional love to our children as well. And the best way, one of the ways you can show unconditional love to your children is by showing them grace. By showing them grace. Everyone say grace. You need to forgive them, all right? I remember one time Jaden did something wrong, and we never let him off the hook. You know, we kept bringing it up. Oh, Jaden, I don't think we can trust you anymore because you did this and all that. And that was so bad, right? You don't want that. You don't want people following you around and telling you every mistake that you make, right? Stop elbowing your husband or your wife. That wouldn't make a very happy marriage if your husband or your wife keep pointing at your fault, your mistake all the time, and it wouldn't make a happy childhood either. So you have to be able to forgive and forget, right? You have to be able to forgive and forget. You got to show unconditional love. Remember when the Father spoke to Jesus, He said what? You are my Son whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Now let me ask you, has Jesus done anything at this point of His career? Has He healed anybody? No. Has He fed 5,000 people? Nope. Has He raised someone from the dead? Nope. Has He raised Himself from the dead? Nope. He's done nothing up until this point that is of significance. And yet, God the Father said, in whom, with you, I am pleased. Jesus hasn't done anything. And yet, God the Father says, I'm so pleased with you. What does that mean? That means God the Father shows unconditional love to Jesus, not because of what He can do, but because of who He is. Because of who He is. Do you love your child for who he is, for who she is? Or do you keep comparing them? Or do you keep bringing out past mistakes? You need to be able to show grace to your children. All right? Look at what David says in Psalm 130, verse 3. Lord, if you kept a record of our sins, who, O Lord, could ever survive? Now, you can change this and make it a parenting verse. If you kept a record of the sin of your child, who, O parent, which kid could survive? No kid could survive, right? If you keep pointing the mistake, the fault all the time, which kid could survive? Nobody. So don't do it. You got to show them grace just as God has shown us grace. That's why David said he's so grateful as far as the east is from the west. So far has God removed our transgressions, our sins from us. How good is that? Let me ask you, how far is the east from the west? Infinity far, right? You can keep going to the east, and then you can keep going and going. That's how far God has forgiven, has forgotten your sin. Paul expressed this love, this grace in a different way in what is known as the love passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We read this at weddings all the time, but it applies to parenting as well. Paul says, love is patient, love is kind, it is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way, it is not irritable, and listen to this, It keeps no record of being wrong. You can replace the word love with your name. That is patient. That is kind. That is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. That does not demand its own way. That is not irritable. And that keeps no record of being wrong. You can change it to mom as well. Mom is patient. Mom is kind. Mom is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Mom does not demand its own way. Mom is her own way. Mom is not irritable. Mom keeps no record of being wrong. You know, it is so important that you show love and grace to your children. Guess why? Because you're not a perfect parent. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to make many parenting mistakes like I have. But listen to Peter when he says, most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. A lot of people read this passage wrongly. They think love covers a multitude of sins refers to God's love. No, it doesn't refer to God's love. How do I know? Because look at the sentence earlier. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other. Show love for each other. And your love for each other covers a multitude of sins. That means, you know, you will make parenting mistakes. If your child knows that you love them unconditionally, that you show grace to them. There's a place for discipline, by the way, right? I mean, you got to listen to last week's message if you don't believe that I believe in discipline. But your child needs to know that you love them unconditionally. And when you show them unconditional love, when you show them grace, and when their love tank is full, let me tell you, whenever you make parenting mistakes, your child will forgive you because your love for them covers a multitude of parenting faults and mistake and sin as well, right? In conclusion, I want to tell you this. It is hard for you to show unconditional love to your children if you yourself have not received unconditional love from God. If you're not a Christian here this morning, let me tell you again the good news. We are sinners, all of us. Let me give it to you straight, right? We make mistakes in our life. We do things we're not proud of. We are sinners. God could very easily have obliterated us, but no, God is gracious to you. God is gracious to me. Paul says in Romans 3, yet God freely and graciously declares that we are righteous. Are we righteous? We're not righteous. We are sinners. But God, in His grace, declares us righteous. Why? He did it through Jesus Christ when He freed us from the penalty of our sins. You know, through His death on the cross, Jesus paid for the penalty for your sins. And that's why when God sees you, now God declares you righteous. The righteousness of Jesus Christ belongs to you. Now, if you have received that unconditional love from God the Father, then you can give it to others, including your children. But if you have not received that, it's going to be very difficult for you. Let me tell you right now. I know a lot of parents who divorce their children. A lot of children who divorce their parents. Why? Because their love is so conditional, right? But if you receive unconditional love from God, you can show it. You can express it to your children as well. And you won't be doing it perfectly, let me tell you, right? There's no way in the world that you can perfectly fill your children's love tank. Because only God can do that. Only God can fill your child's love tank. But through you, let me tell you, God can do that. Even though you can't do it on your own, but if you try your best, you're depending fully on the unconditional love of God for yourself, and you try to reflect that love to your children, God will fill the love tank of your child. It's so important. But the question is, you got to make a decision. What kind of dad, what kind of mom, what kind of parent do you want to be? I read about this wonderful Jewish custom. I don't even know how to pronounce it. It's called Pidyon Haben. This happens when a child turns 31 days old, and it's so interesting. On the child's 31st day, a child is brought to the rabbi in the presence of family and guests, and the father is asked if he desires to leave the child or redeem him. If the child chooses to redeem the child, he hands a special coin to the rabbi, and the rabbi pronounces, "Your son is redeemed." And afterward, the child is returned to the father. How cool is that? You know, when I read about this, I thought, wow, this is so cool, because it tells the child that the parent has a choice. You see, as a father, as a mother, you have a choice to either abandon your child or to commit to redeem your child. So the child knows that, hey, you have chosen. You could have left, but you have chosen to redeem me. And that's an expression of love. And that's exactly what God, through Jesus Christ, has done for us, hasn't he? He has redeemed us. He's a great redeemer. He made a decision. Even though we're not lovely, even though we are weak, even though we're not strong, God has made a conscious decision before the foundation of the world to redeem us from our sin. I want to close with this powerful video that I've shown, I don't know how many times, but I could not find a better video to express what we are talking about today. So if you've seen it before, so I guess you just have to see it again. But for some of us, maybe we haven't seen it, but it's a powerful, unconditional love story of a father by the name of Dick Hoyt toward his son, Rick Hoyt. This is what happened. Rick Hoyt was diagnosed with cerebral palsy at birth. In 1977, when he was only a teenager, Rick asked his father, Dick, if they could run in a charity race together. After their first race, Rick said, "Dad," and he spoke through computer. See, he spoke through the computer to his dad. "Dad, when I'm running, it feels like I'm not handicapped." You know, his dad was so proud of his son, and he very much liked his son to not feel like he was handicapped. So he kept bringing his son, or he would say in the interview that the son was the one who wants to go out there, and he just follows the son. As of March 2016, the Hoyts had competed in 1,130 endurance events, including 72 marathons and 7 Ironman triathlons. That's swimming, cycling, as well as running. And they even come close to breaking the world record. They were only a long time, but they were only about 30 minutes behind the world record holder in marathon.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.